all right.
Give you a chance to get settled there. Take your Bible tonight. I'm running on water. Some folks run on air when they preach tonight. I'm a little bit running on water. So excuse me. I know we're not supposed to have that, but my voice just doesn't want to seem strong enough tonight. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 tonight. We're going to continue with what we started last week. While you're turning there, I want to thank you for coming on Wednesday nights when you know it's me preaching. I really do. I appreciate you very much. I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to do what I love to do, and that's to share the Word of God with people. This is my 43rd year of preaching, and I absolutely love being able to open up the Word of God and help people understand it, to grow in it, to know it, to love it, and to be able to serve the Master better. Amen? Life is short. It's but a vapor. It's there for a moment and vanishes away. And I think it's really important what we do with that vapor. And I appreciate you letting me be a part of your life by coming and letting me speak to you about this. I know our preacher feels the same way. I know he loves you very much. I know that he feels it's a privilege to be your pastor, and I understand that. I feel it's a privilege to be your associate pastor here, and that you would allow me to help you grow. So with that in mind, all the kindness just left me. I'm going to preach to you. No, I want to... No, I'm just teasing. With that in mind, let's take our Bible and stand as we read Luke chapter 16 and verse number 1. We'll start tonight. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 1. We're talking about the parable of the unjust steward. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. By the way, the Lord wasn't taking it away from him. He took it away from himself by his dishonesty. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do. When I am put out of the stewardship, that they may receive me unto their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors and said unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. Now I want you to understand something here. We're going to talk about this, but I want you to understand something. He hasn't cut the bill. He's lying. They're stealing from the master. The bill isn't reduced. They're making up a new bill. That's a fake bill. So they're keeping what they have. And he's doing this because he doesn't want to work anymore. And he wants to make sure that when he's kicked out of the position he's in, that these people will take him in and take care of him. So he's more after being dishonest than living honestly. And I think sometimes we miss that being said here. Okay? And we think he's doing something good. He's not. He's being dishonest. He's being a thief. And he's brought in other thieves along with himself. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Now this wisdom here is not talking about wisdom from heaven. Here's what he says. For the children of this world in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make unto yourselves friends of mammon of unrighteousness. Where was the unrighteousness at? In the lying and the theft that was going on from the master. So he is being kicked out of being a steward because he was a liar and a cheat. He doesn't change his ways. He continues to lie and cheat. That when ye fail, that they may receive you to everlasting habitation. Notice that word fail. He's saying that when you fall apart, when you fail, be nice to those who are crooks along with you so that they'll take you in. Because you're going to fail. Sin always has an end. You can't cover it up. It will be revealed. People will reap what they sow. That's a law. Just like oxygen CO2 turning into oxygen. You know, that happens with plants. That's a law. It's a natural law. There's a natural law from God that says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And that's what we're seeing here. And he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. But he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in what is another man's, who shall give you that is your own? If you can't take care of other stuff, how come? Who's going to give you anything for yourself? You can't take care of anything else. No servant can serve two masters. Here's the thing here. There's two masters being talked about. Unrighteous mammon. See, unrighteous mammon. So he says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And it's not a matter of being a servant to money. It's about money corrupting you with sin. And if you're going to do that, you can't be the servant of God, because they don't go together. It's like oil and water. They cannot mix. That's what he's telling us here. So it doesn't mean you can't have money. Some folks walk away from this, and some preachers have preached in the past, well, this means you can't have any money. That's not true. It's not anything here about being rich. It's knowing what to do with what God has given you. That's what this is about. And so that's what we're going to learn tonight. Father, we ask that you bless now this service. Help us to understand truly what's being said here, that we could glorify your name and do best with what we have. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, we started this last week, and we found out that this parable is about a steward. We found out the word steward is made up of two words, meaning house or family, and the other part of the word is administrator. So administrating someone's house or family on their behalf, that's what a steward is. Amen. The illustration that goes on further to illustrate the relationship between Christ and us in this world. When Jesus saved you and I, he does not take us immediately to heaven. I would like that, wouldn't you? I would have loved when I got saved, Jesus come into my heart, boop, I was suddenly in heaven. No more sin, no more temptation, no more devil, no more struggle, no more nothing. Just glory with God, amen? That would be great, but he didn't do that. What he did then was he took you and he took me at our salvation and made us stewards of his work. He said, I need the gospel to go out to others. The reason Jesus doesn't take us straight to heaven is because then how would the gospel message get out? God does not use angels. He does not use visions. Oh, I saw a vision. I saw an angel come down from heaven. He stood on the end of my bed and he said, get saved. You are drunk. Or you as high. Or you ate pizza before you fell asleep. But there is no vision that does that, because God does not work that way. God works through his word. You say, well, you mean God never works through those kind of situations? Not now he doesn't. At one time he spoke through the angels, but that was special situations only. When he announces the birth of John the Baptist, special situation. When he goes to Abraham, Abraham is about to offer his son Isaac on the altar, special situation. Moses goes and there's a bush burning, special situation. Those aren't the norm. What we live in is the norm. The normal. And God works normally through his word. There are no Old Testament prophets alive today. Period. Amen? We're in the New Testament time. There will be some great prophets that are going to come later on after the church is taken out. But we live in what's called the church age today. And the only way God works is through His Word. And He uses sinful man through the foolishness of preaching to lead people to Jesus Christ. And the foolishness isn't to God, and the foolishness isn't to Christians. The foolishness of preaching is the world's view of preaching. So we must be good stewards of what God gives us. Let me use an illustration. One time in Michigan, I was out soul winning with a deacon in our church. And we were just walking up and down the road, knocking on doors. And I have a policy. If I'm out knocking on doors, I don't know who's behind the door or if there's anybody even there. But if somebody's outside, I know they're home. So if I see someone outside, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go talk to them. So we're walking down the street, and I saw these two gentlemen, if you will, and their hogs, not meaning, but their motorcycles, standing out in a driveway talking. And they got Hell's Angels jackets on. And I start walking up the driveway. I look next to me, and my partner's gone. He's standing at the end of the driveway. I said, "Come on." He said, "Oh, I'm not going up there." I said, "Why not?" He said, "They're Hell's Angels. They'll tear us apart." I said, "Oh, come on. Come on, I'm going." He said, "No, I'm not going." I said, "Okay, you stay here. I went up there." And I went up there and I started talking to them. You know what Hell's Angels people are? People. You know what they have? An eternal soul. You know what nobody wants to have happen? Die and go to hell. So I'm talking to them and I said, "Hey, listen, let's say you get on your hog today. And you, man, you're zipping down the road and you go down on M95, and which is a highway out there. You get on M95 and all of a sudden you wipe out on some oil. And you die. You know for sure you go to heaven." And the guy looked straight at me and he said, "No, I don't." I said, "Wouldn't you love to have God's promise that if not, that no matter what happens the rest of your life, you would go straight to heaven?" And the other guy said, "Well, you'd have to be an idiot not to." I said, "So are you an idiot then?" He said, "Of course not." You can talk to people like that a little different than you would talk to a normal, regular person. And I said, "But then you want to..." Watching this. Oh, I get him in the park. He's still in the park. I call him over. I said, I can't find where you told me to go. I said, will you show me? He said, sure. He got in the van, and we drove over to his mama's house. My wife went in the bedroom and led the sister and the mother to Christ. Well, I sat out and talked with him. After a little bit, he came over to me and said, this gun is going to get me in trouble. I want to give it to you. Get rid of it for me. He knew that he needed some help. Now, most of us would not have done anything like that because of our fears. But wait a minute, my life is not my own. My life belongs to Jesus Christ. I'm a steward. I don't know anything about these people except they need to hear the gospel message. And if we don't tell it to them, they're not going to hear it. So we can't allow our fears to stop us from doing what God has commanded for you and I to do. Now, I'll be honest with you. I can't do what I used to do. I can't run as fast as I used to run. I can't burn the candles at both ends. Shoot, I can barely burn a candle at one end now. I'm just slower, and I don't have the energy. That happens when you get older. Amen? I want to wait till then to realize that I need to do something for Jesus Christ. That's what happened to this steward here. He waited too long to realize that what he was doing wasn't right. I said last week that he wasted his master's goods. I said last week he didn't do his best. I said last week that perhaps he did not take into account the proper stewardship, and his stewardship was going to be taken into account. Just like ours will on the day that we pass away, we'll stand before the Lord. So number four is, he waited too late in life to be concerned about what was going on. Look what it says in verse number 3 of chapter 16. Then the servant said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg, I am ashamed. Now there's a couple issues here. But the truth is he was older now. He waited too long to realize that he had to do the right thing. So he looks within himself, and he says, well, I'm not young anymore. I can't do what a young person can do. I understand that. Even when we're in our 40s, we can't do what we did in our 20s. When we hit our 50s, we can't do what we did in our 40s. And they tell me that when you hit your 70s, you can't do what you did in your 60s, and I believe that to be true. And then everything's cut way back when you hit that 70 mark. But we need to be careful that we don't wait till it's close to our stewardship being over before we realize that I need to do more for Jesus Christ. So while you're young, while you have energy, while you're capable, while you're able, do it now. Because one day, you're not going to. Now, the truth is that I've had funerals in my lifetime for every age of person. From infants, newborns, all the way to very elderly people in their 80s, 90s. And had one who was up. About dying as we did. trust Him to live in my heart. Because you give your best. Well, if you're late, I want to talk to you about Jesus. They're not going to listen. They are. I'm resolved of what